You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, series 3, episode 15. John Breyer, what an awful day we're having weather-wise, so we're here to bring a little bit of sunshine to followers of the League of Ireland.
Yeah, and I've been getting drowned all weekend because, Kieran, you're probably aware I was down at the Gaynor Cup this weekend with my daughter.
How was that?
Absolutely brilliant setup, I have to say. Down at the University of Limerick, you couldn't wish for better facilities and setup. Organisation was great.
Standard of football?
Standard football, pretty good, pretty reasonable actually, and I'm hoping my daughter's earned a million euro move somewhere, and I'll be able to retire with any luck.
Excellent.
No scouts been on the phone just yet though.
But before I tell you about tonight's show, I suppose I'm going to point you in the direction of some Between the Stripes content, because it's been absolutely jammers this week between our website, our YouTube. So if you go onto our website now, BetweenTheStripes.ie, I've literally just posted a new opinion piece there. Five players in the first division who could be set for big summer moves, identifying five top performers in the first division this season. John, you're shaking your head.
Kieran, you're going to be so popular with certain managers. You do realise this.
So give that a view, and we might speak a little bit about that on the show tonight. Brilliant piece on what the League of Ireland could learn from the Welsh Premier League. Now, that came off the back of myself and John's trip to Wales. It's something I wanted to pen for a while. Finally sat down and got doing it the other day. Brilliant reaction.
I was quite amazed you could remember anything from your trip to Wales, to be honest, Kieran. But it's a really good piece. Take a look at it. Give us a shout. Let us know what you think.
Yeah. We've had a couple of new writers come on board this week. So welcome to the guys. And if anyone else wants to get involved with BetweenTheStripes.ie, just drop us an email on BetweenTheStripes1924@gmail.com. But a piece on the League Cup and perhaps the potential for rewarding the winners of that competition with a place in Europe. Mixed reaction, to say the least, on that one. But John, I know that's something you've championed before on this show.
Yeah, well, definitely, because at the moment, I think it's pretty worthless, the Cup, I have to say. I don't think it's taken too seriously by teams. I think people send up their reserves, treat it as a reserve squad cup, and it probably deserves better.
And finally, if you head over to Between the Stripes TV on YouTube, a brilliant sit-down interview. It's the start of a new series called League of Ireland Life Stories. It's began this week with Longford Town's Aidan Durbin. I sat down with him for a 20-minute interview. Everything from his early football memories, early challenges in his career, hopes for the future, some really, really interesting stuff from young A, and that's something I'll be doing up and down the country in the coming week. So subscribe to Between the Stripes TV on YouTube and you won't miss it.
I hope you haven't put him as one of your five players that are likely to move on to bigger and better things.
Not likely, these are just players I'm highlighting that
is that right?
Yeah, and he is actually one of them. So again, BetweenTheStripes.ie, you'll get all of our content in one place. Series 3, episode 15 of the podcast tonight. Two excellent interviews coming your way. First, we have Cove Ramblers boss Stephen Henderson. Surprise win against Bray last week, although I did call it, John. And we spoke about the comments you made on the show last week. You think that Stephen Henderson has thrown the towel in with his comments that his team can no longer make the playoffs.
Yep.
I put that quote to him and he had a very, very interesting reaction. So we'll be opening the show with that now shortly. And Daniel O'Reilly, you might have seen this absolute screamer he scored at Dalymount Park at the weekend. We've spoken to the Finn Harps defender.
Yeah, it was a super goal, wasn't it? And he's chipping in with a few goals this season, Kieran.
Yeah, he's probably been the best performer in what's been a very, very shaky back four so far this season for Finn Harps.
Yeah, won't be surprised if Daniel gets looked at by other clubs in that top division.
So we're going to bring you our interview with Stephen Henderson now to kick off the show, and then off the back of that, we'll go into the first division review from the weekend, followed by the Premier Division review. Just before we kickstart the show, we've had a little bit of a technical error lately, and I've only been made aware of it recently. A lot of our subscriptions on iTunes, for some reason, have been cancelled. So some of you aren't getting the notifications to make you aware of a new show. So if you're listening now on an Apple device, we'd really, really ask you to go into iTunes or podcast, whatever the app is called these days, but go into where you listen to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. unsubscribe and then resubscribe. And if you also have time, leave us a rating and a review. We'd really appreciate that, because we've totally dropped off the face of the earth on iTunes recently, and it's just down to a simple glitch. So we really would appreciate if you could help us out with that. But John, we're going to go to our interview, first interview of the night. It's the Cove Ramblers boss, Stephen Henson. This is an absolutely superb sit down with the Cove boss.
So I'm delighted to say that Stephen Henderson joins us once again on Between the Stripes LOI podcast this season. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Borky.
So Stephen, a fantastic win at the weekend. I suppose some would describe it as a surprise result, the 1-0 win over Bray, but your team has shown an ability to upset some of the bigger sides in the division this season.
No, I don't think anybody gets surprised in this league anymore, Ciarán. That's the truth. Every team is well capable of beating any other. I think it's proved all season. When we're up for it, we're very decent. When we're not, you know, we're still hard to beat. So, you know, we were really disappointed with the Shelbourne game the week previous. Thought we played very well, deserved something over. And we kind of took that. It was a different kind of game against Bray. They were a little bit more direct. A bumpy pitch, as you probably would expect them to be. But we dealt with it great. And, you know, we were the better team in the first half, them in the second. And, you know, we got a good goal. Me and Tornart got us a goal, and we saw it out. So it's fantastic, you know. And it really is. It kicks on, Ciarán, in the sense, like, I think it's about 3.5 years now that we have this record that when we go in front, we don't lose. It's a remarkable record for the club and for the players.
Wow, I wasn't aware of that one, I have to say. That is very, very impressive. But you mentioned the game against Shelbourne at Tolka Park. Obviously, I was there doing live commentary. As you said, it was a very good performance from Cove, and I spoke to you afterwards. You were extremely disappointed to go down in that game. And I suppose your comments off the back of that game brought up a bit of debate on last week's show here. You ruled your team's chances of playoff football out after that game. John Breyer here last week, he's not obviously here to defend himself as we pre-record this, but he was unhappy with your comments, Stephen. He feels that maybe you've thrown the towel in too early, and if you could get a run of results going now before the break, maybe there's still a chance.
No, I've never thrown the towel in my life, and that's the truth, Ciarán. What I said was realistic. We're 10 points behind the team that's in fourth. They all have budgets that are 5 and 6 times more than what I have, and ours is going to be reduced again. So I think I've been more realistic than throwing the towel in. I think what we've done over the last few years is probably, you know, we've created a few miracles, these group of young players, by getting to finals, semi-finals, runners-up, getting to playoffs. It's remarkable what they've achieved. But sometimes you just have to put your hand up and say, hang on a minute, these teams are investing very heavily, Longford included, into their team, and it's the right way to go. Whereas we have stayed, in terms of the finance of it, we've remained static, and possibly we're going to have to reduce it now as well, because as you well know, there's nobody coming to the bloody games in Ramblers, you know, and that's very disappointing. So I wasn't throwing any towel in. I think it was been realistic, but every game that we go out, we try and win, and I think I proved that last week against Bray. These are a team that coming down 6 times the budget that we have. We matched them physically, you know, we played very well in the first half, and when we needed to stand up to them, we did. So there'll be no towel getting thrown in. I've just been realistic about where we are, but I think we'll have a big say who does win that league, and we probably have a big say who does get into them playoffs, because you know, we're at the beating Shells, we're at the drama Longford, and we're at the beating Bray, so you know, we still have to play them all again, so it'll be interesting. We'll have a say, see what happens.
Has your comments perhaps taken pressure off your players? Because I was one of the few that predicted a Cove win over Bray. I just felt your comments maybe gave the players a bit of freedom going into that game, less pressure on them, and they've created a great result. So would you agree with that? And deep down, is there still maybe a niggling sense that if you got 5 or 6 wins on the trot, you could still be there or thereabouts at the end of the season?
Well, you never say never, do you? You know, what I'm saying to you is yeah, we did take the pressure off them by saying that. What we have told the lads now is, let's really focus on performance. Let's try and improve as a team, and you try and improve individually. Whatever happens after that. You know, I've just been realistic that it's a very big ask to try and catch teams with so much more resources than you. You know, and to be 10 points behind them teams, it's very difficult. But like you say, you know, nobody expects us to get to an EA Sports Cup final. We're an amateur team. Do you know what I mean? Working off very small resources, very little infrastructure. So, like, we have surprised people in the past, And like you say, if you go on a 4 or 5 game run where you win a few games, God knows where that will bring you, such as the unpredictability of the league. But, you know, I just felt like the Shells game was a game that we needed a bit of luck in. We didn't get it. You're saying, okay, this is going to be really difficult. I've told the players it's going to be really difficult for us to hit the playoffs, but let's just take it one game at a time. Let's go out and try and improve as a team. Use trying and improving players. See if we can get a few wins. See what happens at the end of the season. But don't be too disappointed if we don't make it.
While we're on the subject of attendances, and I can hear it in your voice there, you're very, very disappointed with the low turnouts at St. Coleman's. And I know from talking to people down at the club there, they're putting a huge effort, and it was great to see the bar full at the weekend showing the Champions League final. But I know myself, obviously I'm sure our listeners are aware that I'm involved with the media team at Longford, and even yesterday for the bank holiday game against Galway, quite a disappointing turnout considering all the promotion the club is trying to do for these games. Why do you feel people aren't coming out to watch First Division football?
Well, I think in our case, because we're not winning, you know, like I went to the shop around the corner the other day, and a lad came out of his house literally across the road and asked me, how did we get on the weekend? And like, he's literally facing the stadium and he's asking me, how did we get on? You know, so that kind of, that would make your heart sink. I don't know why, because I do believe the Fourth Division is probably getting more publicity than it ever has before. And Kieran, yourself and John have a lot to do with it. The podcasts have been fantastic. You know, there's an awful lot of coverage. The papers are giving us more coverage. There's no real reason. You know, our team are a very young side, and we go out and we give it everything. Every game we play, we try and give it everything we have. Sometimes it doesn't work for us. You know, we have a media. I think our own social media has been kind of, you know, hasn't helped us at times this year with some of the comments we made on it. I was disappointed a few times with that. You know, but like, winning games get people in. And as you say, there's a new committee there. They're trying new stuff. And that's going to take time for to you know, will the consequence of that be bigger turnouts? I don't know. But the league itself is very good. The quality of the football, you're going to Longford every week and you're seeing the quality of football that Longford are producing. Bray play a lovely brand of football. Shells are trying to play a brand of football. We are. Do you know what I mean? All the teams are trying to do it the right way. We are promoting it, but it's to get those people in, and we have to come up with, you know, something radical to get more people in, to get them in on a regular basis. And in fairness to this committee, they've tried stuff, but it's, you know, at this moment in time, it hasn't kicked on.
Yeah, and just going off to a different subject altogether, obviously you're one of the more active managers on social media within the league, and you're talking about reform there and radical changes within the league. You don't seem to be a believer in Niall Quinn's plans.
Well, it's not that I'm not a believer in his plans. I was always very sceptical in the context that this document was going to be some generic document with buzzwords. And when I seen it, that's what I got, was what I expected. I think the big thing is, where has Niall been for the last 10, 15 years? What he said, I think everybody here has said. I think, you know, I was disappointed that the thing was held on a Friday. I think current managers, myself included, have an awful lot to offer in terms of these forums and these discussions, you know, in terms of what we can do going forward. We all know what the problems were in the past. Do you know what I mean? We don't really need to keep bringing them up. What we need to do is learn from them. What have we learned from what we've done wrong in the past, and then bring this to the forum? And how can we again expand on it and make the league better? How can we produce a proper football industry here where there's full-time jobs, not just for players, but for sports scientists, for coaches, you know, for strength and conditioning coaches? A proper industry with proper infrastructure, and can we get the basics of that right? And then obviously the academies are starting to do well now, but there's still an awful lot more work to be done with it. But it's an Irish solution to an Irish problem, and we need to sit down and culturise it and say, what is the best about Irish football? What is about the best about the Irish DNA that we have to offer? And yeah, we can look at Scotland and we can look at Holland and what have you, and take little bits that and add it to this Irish model and create it ourselves. And because we have the brain power here, we have the quality here, we have the knowledge here. We have some fantastic coaches. Some of the best coaches in Europe are working in this league, but they're not being recognised as that because of the shit conditions that we have to work in. But there are people there with a huge knowledge of the game and that we can sit down. And I was disappointed with Niall because it was very generic. It was buzzwords. You know what I mean? It's, you know, we want something that's really tangible and something that we can build blocks on, something not just throw something at it straight away. Let's start from the bottom, build the foundations, and let's build something that we can all be proud of and something that would be sustainable. And like when he says, is it a 10, 20, how many years is this model for? Let's have a plan in place. Let's put something in place that's going to be there forevermore and improve evermore. I think we have the people here to do it, and I think we need another forum, and we need to sit down with governments and councils and go through this properly, and let's come up with a proper plan, because a 30-page document doesn't mesh with me.
Yeah, I think that's a subject we could go on all day about, and hopefully myself and John will get time on the show tomorrow to discuss it. But just back to your own team now, Stephen. Obviously, the transfer window's coming up shortly, and I suppose despite some disappointing performances this season, a couple of your players have caught the eye. Denzel Fernandez, Kevin Taylor, and the boy Kabi up front as well has been very, very impressive. Is there any fear that you might lose those players now in the summer?
Yeah, there's a huge fear that we're going to lose them because they're very good players. You know, and they're all only young lads. You know, and obviously playing with Ramblers week in, week out, they're getting better and better. They're coming up against experienced players, hence the fourth division. This is why the quality, so many Premier Division players with Premier Division experience playing in this league now, and it's great for young players. And yeah, I'd be very nervous about losing them. You know, but this is what we sell to them, Kieran, when we're signing them, you know, because of the situation financially that we're in. That look at what we can do is we can put on training sessions for you that will improve you. We can give you advice that will improve you. We can put you in the team and put you in the shop window, and then it's completely up to you. So when they go and do that and someone takes them, you know, we can't really complain because that's how we got them to sign in the first place, unfortunately.
And finally, before the break, you have Cabinteely this weekend and then a home game against Galway. Obviously, Cabinteely had a fantastic start to the season without a win in four now. And Galway, despite some impressive performances, they're not getting the results. So, possibility for your team to pick up some points here now?
Well, I think with Cabinteely, I think most teams will go through a patch where I think Longford have just gone through it. You know, you go through a patch during the different phases of the season where you're on this winning run, and then just a defeat knocks you back for a few and then you get going again. So Cabinteely, they have been really, really good this year. In fact, they're always good. They're always really well organised. They're always a big, strong team, very physical, and they run all day for Pat and the lads. You know what I mean? So that's going to be a very difficult game on a very difficult pitch. And Galway, you know, I think you've probably seen last night with Galway, like, you know, you just don't know what you're getting with them at the moment. You know, they could be horrendous or they could be brilliant, but there's definitely a really good team in that Galway side. So there are two very difficult games coming up. You know, Cabinteely away, we've already started the process of preparing for them. Like I said to you, you know, we're going out there, we're preparing right. We'll be a young team, we've a lot of injuries again. But they stood up to a really physical challenge against Bray the other day, and they're going to have to do that again against Cabinteely. Kind of win the physical battles, and then try and play our way to a victory. But we're going up there to try and win the game. There'll be none of this, you know, hoping to catch them on the break. We'll be trying to win the game here.
Stephen, brilliant stuff. Still enjoying it. Final question. Still enjoying your time at Cove?
I'll never not enjoy football, Kieran. No matter what level I'm in, I love the game. I love the people who are involved. More importantly, I love the players. So, you know, I'll always enjoy it. Win, lose, or draw. Obviously, not as much when you lose, but kind of getting used to that this year, to be honest.
Yeah, well, the passion certainly comes across, and we really appreciate it, Stephen. So thanks for joining us, and best wishes for the rest of the season.
Cheers, kid. Keep up the great work, young man.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So, John, you obviously weren't there to chip in with our interview with Stephen Henderson, but what was your reaction to some of his comments there? Good interview, wasn't it?
Yeah, good interview. And, yeah, like I say, he's obviously being realistic. I accused him a bit of throwing the towel in, but it's good to see a response like that. And obviously fired up the players for their match against Bray.
Yeah, well, I said it on the show last week. I always felt that maybe Stephen wasn't been totally honest with his comments. I think it was just an attempt to take a little bit of pressure off the players going into this big game against Bray. Knowing the win there could keep them in with a shout. Now, they still have an awful lot of work to do. They'd really have to post after the break. They'd have to go on a run of 5-6 wins in a row and hope teams in front of them slip up. But
As we've said,
that can happen in this division. So
yeah,
let's go on now and talk about the results from the weekend, starting with the first division. And we'll talk about that game. Cove Ramblers 1, Bray Wanderers 0.
Yeah, surprise as far as I was concerned with this one. Bray are showing some really indifferent form, aren't they, despite being one of our favourites for the division this season.
They were our favourites at the start, but you'll remember I wrote Bray off several weeks ago on this show.
Yep.
They've slipped up against Cove, they've slipped up against Wexford. They've slipped up in games against sides they shouldn't be slipping up. And then against their title rivals, Shelburne and Longford, they haven't turned up and performed in them games. For me, a team of individuals at Bray, they won't be anywhere near the title.
What's going wrong there then, Kieran?
Team of individuals.
Yeah?
Yeah, they haven't gelled. I don't know why, because they have some very, very good players. They have the experience of Paul Keegan in midfield. They have the experience of Sava in goals, although I don't think he's been great this season. They have Hugh Douglas at the back, again, another experience. So there's a spine, you would imagine there's a spine to that team. But without wanting to sound too harsh, I think some of their performances this season have been spineless.
Is Gary Cronin the right man?
Rookie manager, I suppose. I know he had a short spell with Longford. I like his style of football. I like the way Gary goes about things. But I raised the point with you after that, what I thought was a pathetic performance against Longford.
They never turned up at Longford.
Yeah, they never turned up. And some of their big name players, particularly Dylan McGlade, didn't turn up that day. And I felt Gary wasn't strong enough in leaving those players on the pitch, insisting with them. I did notice that McGlade's been on the bench recently. I don't know if that's down to injuries or down to a lack of form. But I think Gary needs to put a statement of intent there now, drop several players after this defeat to Cove, and try and kick them up the arse, basically.
Yeah, they're still nowhere like out of it, are they? They're still, you know, it's still close in that division, but they need to do something a little bit different because they're just so inconsistent.
I just think they lack the character and the mentality to go and win a league.
Yeah, and that surprises me, as you've mentioned, with Paul Keegan. He's a winner. He's been a winner wherever he's been, you know.
Time for those big players, experienced players to step up and say, look, lads, this isn't good enough, so... we'll see what the Bray reaction is in the coming weeks, and they're playing Longford Town next weekend, so maybe they'll be looking to shove those comments right back down my throat. Shelburne 1, Longford Town 0. This is the game I was at, John. Shelburne in the first 15-20 minutes, had they gone ahead, you wouldn't argue that they battered Longford in the opening stage of this game. Longford just simply couldn't settle. Very disjointed first half, a lot of injuries, one very serious one where Paul O'Connor collided with a perimeter wall and was eventually replaced due to concussion. Second half, different story. Longford came out and they dominated Shelburne. They did everything but put the ball in the back of the net, missed a couple of sitters. And then just like we've seen last season, Peter Hopkins comes off the bench. He panics inside his own penalty box. He gives away a stupid penalty. Shelburne take a 1-0 lead through Conan Byrne. He was never going to miss from the spot. They grind out the result like they've done all season. They've ground out these results, especially at home. Longford, they come away scratching their heads as to how they've lost this game, but a huge win for Shelburne in terms of the title race.
Massive win. And please tell me you weren't singing about his podcast again, were you, Conan Byrne?
No, we left him alone this time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, look, disappointing that from Longford Town, because I think from what I read, they were the better team in the second half. Obviously, I couldn't go due to work commitments, you know,
it all comes down to a lack of a striker, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, I'm afraid. And, you know, you look at Longford's top scorers and there's no striker in that list.
No.
Dobbs has had plenty of opportunity.
I think I'm right in saying 2 goals in 11 appearances.
Yeah.
Not a good enough return.
Jamie Doyle, to me, he's the alternative striker in that squad. Whether or not he's going to get an extended run in the team, I don't know. I know Fenn rates Dobbs highly, so we'll just
he's
have
taking
to
a
see
lot of stick from Longford Town fans at the moment. You'll know that yourself from standing in the section O every week that the fans aren't happy with his performances.
No, and they've every right to be, you know, because at the end of the day, for a centre forward, you need goals.
Mm.
And we're looking around the league with these glaring eyes at the likes of Danny Furlong and Vinnie Vartey and the
likes. For me, it's not even the lack of goals. I feel he's not contributing enough in terms of his hold-up play, in terms of creating chances for players around and bringing teammates into the game.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're questioning whether Jamie Doyle is the alternative. What you have in Doyle, at least, is a target man that will hold that ball up, get the ball out to the wingers, slide it inside to his midfielders. You know, I think if Dobbs isn't doing it, I think that Fenn has to put faith in the players he has and give Doyle a crack at it.
Yeah, I just get a funny feeling this is going to be an area that Fenn's going to strengthen.
I think he has to. Yeah. I've wrote it today in an article on BetweenTheStripes.ie. If Longford want to win this title, they have to identify a striker. They have to go out and get one.
And if they're serious about getting promoted this season, they just have to say, right, we're going to get a striker.
There is a couple of options in the first division they could look at.
Yeah.
Obviously, Manly at Cabinteely, but whether Cabinteely would allow that to happen.
I don't know what kind of contract he's on.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we've spoken before about the likes of Vinnie Fatterley and Furlong probably been at those clubs through convenience. So
yeah.
Are they realistic targets? Probably not. Conor Ellis, is he going to relocate himself up to train in Dublin and play with Longford? Probably unlikely. So limits their options.
Williams not far down the road.
Dean Williams,
yeah,
on loan from Shamrock Rovers. So again, you don't know what way that deal is structured. That
wouldn't surprise me if it was half season loan and he ended up at Longford. But
again, he's done very well this season, Williams. I think he has 5 or 6 goals in the first division. He's among the top scorers. But surely if Longford are looking to win it, they need an experienced striker to come in.
Possibly. But, you know...
I know me and a couple of the lads had this...
Fenn likes putting his faith in youth as well, you know. So I think if there's somebody out there and he thinks they're going to score the goals, he will do. Which is why he's persisting with Dobbs.
Maybe there's players out there in the non-league. Longford's top performer in an attacking sense this season has been Dean Byrne. He came from non-leagues. And you only have to go back to Davy O'Sullivan. Can you imagine a peak Davy O'Sullivan this side?
It'd be good, wouldn't it?
Oh, my God. But look, I think we've said all we can say on Shelburne versus Longford Town. Athlone 1, Limerick 1. Limerick, hard to criticise them because of everything that's going on there and they're performing so well in the First Division, but you do feel they've just lost a little bit of ground now with that result.
Yeah, and Athlone really haven't... They've been on an awful run, let's face it.
Winless since March.
You know, they went in front with through Keelan Dillon. Again, we've talked about players like that just sort of like being on the edges of teams, haven't they?
Yeah.
And you know, Keelan, type of player that really needs a good run of games somewhere. So it's good that that's happening at Athlone. He opened the scoring. Conor Ellis, good striker, another striker we're talking about, another striker in decent form. He got the equaliser for Limerick. He's got a fair few this season.
He's one that always just needed a run of games. Had a horrific injury last year. Playing in a team low on confidence. He's got his run of games now at Limerick. He's starting to chip in with a couple of goals. The team is performing well despite everything going on there.
Yeah,
Ellis definitely one to watch.
Yeah, definitely. Good striker.
Galway United 0, Cabinteely 0. Cabinteely winless in 4 games now.
Yeah, they've just sort of hit a bit of a sticky patch, haven't they? And I think when they got thumped that a few weeks ago, that didn't help, you know, and that sort of knocked the stuffing out of them a little bit. And Galway are a little
bit... hit a patch no more than Longford did. Longford were 3 defeats in 4 games until their win on Monday night. So
yeah, every team's going to go.
Yeah,
they're going to have a bad run, and we've talked about the inconsistency in divisions in this division. But I'm getting a little bit worried. It's starting
really?
To run on a little bit on. You know, it's going on and on this for Cabinteely, and they need to
have teams suss them out. Perhaps their style of play.
I don't know. Well, their defence looked very good against Longford, I have to say. So you know, they've a clean sheet there at Galway. Longford didn't manage that.
True. Not a bad result for Galway, I suppose. Obviously, they'd like to win at home, but Cabinteely, one of the top sides in the division this season. So for a young team to pick up a point against a team that's shown a know-how in winning games this year, it's not a bad result for Murphy's side.
No.
Wexford 1, Drogheda 2. Drogheda coming from behind to claim a crucial 3 points.
Yeah, Danny Furlong opening the scoring for Wexford.
Set up by?
Jack Doherty.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course.
So those two are real... Absolute shining lights this season for Wexford.
6 goals for Doherty this season, 5 for Furlong. And I'd imagine most of the 5 for Furlong have been set up by Doherty.
Yeah, Doherty is going to be... let me guess, he's one of your in-demand players,
they're both
he?
In there, Furlong and Doherty. So Wexford fans might not want to read that piece.
Yeah, but let's face it, they're a struggling club. They're the two prize assets. We've seen what's happening with UCD at the moment. If, you know, where the... The vultures are circling. If the same thing happens in the first division, they're going to be two players that are going to be very much in demand.
I was shocked to learn today that Jack Doherty is still only 24 years of age.
Yeah, he seems to have been around for a long time, doesn't he? Yeah,
I can remember him bursting on the scene with Waterford going over to England. Obviously, came to Longford in 2015, but you could tell at that stage he had fallen out of love with the game. There was no confidence. He was in poor physical condition.
Can't even remember him playing for Longford, actually.
He spent more time in the stands.
Yeah.
That's not a joke. That's the honest case. And after that, I thought he'd just fallen off the face of the earth in terms of football. He's come back with Wexford. I seen him this season. I was shocked by the condition that he was in. He was in absolutely fantastic physical condition. And you can tell he's got the love for the game back again. The little flicks, the little tricks, getting on the ball, looking forward, trying to create, scoring goals. He's one of the most technically talented players in this division.
Yeah. I think we could see him moving, do you?
That's it. Does he want to stay at a club where he's fallen back in love with the game? He's getting a run of games.
He's been given a chance, hasn't
he? Exactly. Yeah. So, but does he maybe have ambitions again of getting a big move and maybe one day going back to England? Maybe we'll speak to him in the next few weeks and try and find out.
Great to get him on the show, wouldn't it, Kieran?
As for Drogheda, we've said it in the last number of weeks, going under the radar slightly, winning games, scoring goals. Can they do it this year, John?
They're scoring a lot of goals this season, Kieran. There's always goals in a Drogheda game, and there are, like you say, they are sneaking under the radar. They were outsiders at the start of the season. I think people...
Lost a couple of players.
Yeah. Lost a couple of big performers last season, and they were written off in places, but they're doing very, very well. Keep an eye on them.
Yeah, obviously we've had Tim Clancy and Kevin Doherty, the manager and assistant, on several times over the last couple of years. So again, two we might look to speak to in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Finally, the Bank Holiday Monday game. This is a rearranged fixture from earlier in the season. It was Longford Town versus Galway United, and it was the Town that came out 2-1 winners. John, this was certainly a game of two halves.
Yeah, definitely. Really dominant performance from Longford in the first half. Goals from Dean Byrne and Sam Verdon.
Should have been much more. Should have been 3 or 4 at halftime.
Yeah, Longford had chances, and we went into half. I'm thinking, well, this is all very comfortable. Yeah. Galway showing us absolutely nothing. And then second half was a different story.
Galway were absolutely atrocious in the first half. It was one of the worst performances I'd seen from a team this season. And you were just wondering how many Longford were going to win by. Was this the day they were finally going to rack up a cricket score? Because they've struggled to score more than 2 or 3 at any stage this season.
We spoke to a very despondent Julian Canny at halftime, didn't we?
Great to bump into Julian, our podcast guest of multiple times. And We met a Rovers fan as well that's a big fan of the podcast.
Yeah, shout out to Bernard, who, he's a good contributor to us. So
didn't bump into Johnny Ward. I think he was hiding after that first half performance.
Yeah, he knows he knows where the best podcast is.
He was in BTS country, keeping the nut down.
Exactly. So it was nice to bump into a few listeners. And so thanks for that, and keep listening. And
second half, though, Galway came out and got in Longford faces, pressed higher up. Vinnie Farrelly direct balls up to him. He was using his strength, let's say, winning a couple of free kicks, throwing a few little sneaky elbows here and there. What's the word I'm looking for? The dark arts, I suppose, of a centre forward.
It's just clever play,
Kieran. Yeah, clever play, yeah.
You know, and it rattled Longford, and it was no surprise when Galway got one back. And to be honest, if it had finished 2-2, it wouldn't have surprised me, because Galway were well on top of that second half.
And given how dominant Longford were in that first half, had they slipped up and dropped points there, it would have been a complete and utter disaster.
Yeah, it would have been, yeah.
Look, they held on for the win. It was all about responding to that defeat in Talca Park. They've done that. They have Wexford at home now on Saturday before Bray away before the break. So a big chance for Longford to stay on the tails of Shelburne.
And, you know, the reaction from the likes of Fenn and Darradoyle at full-time showed how much that 3 points meant, because they'd had a tough ride with that match.
A cracking title race and promotion race in the first division. And we will keep you up to date on the coming weeks here on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Nobody does first division football better. Moving along to the Premier Division review, Dundalk 4, Sligo Rovers 0. I thought this one might be a draw. You laughed at me and said Dundalk are going to give them a right pasting, and that's what happened. No Dante, though.
No, Dante watch.
Yeah, no Dante watch this week.
Yeah, no, he was injured, wasn't he? So, shame, but...
And he's going to come on the podcast as well. Yeah.
Is he?
I've been in touch. He's coming on the podcast after the Gold Cup.
I cannot wait. That's fantastic news for all you Dante fans out there. You have that to look forward to. Look, it was a perfect start for Dundalk in this match. Mountie scored in the first minute. It was a great header placed in the corner.
Yeah, clever ball over his shoulder by McElhenney, and a fantastic header of Mountney. He's a player I really, really like. I think he's certainly undervalued and underappreciated by a lot of people.
Yeah, and had a great game here. And Sligo did miss Dante, didn't they? He's been pretty solid since the start of the season. Really settled in, and I know he was gutted. He's enjoying playing for Sligo, and they missed him when he was out. Look, Dundalk had plenty of chances this game. Flores... he started to get a few games.
Yeah, starting to impress.
Yeah, he shot wide, and then he had another chance where he headed wide from across, maybe should have scored. At the other end, Romeo Parks, he's starting to impress as well. He's another that settled into that to life at Sligo, and he had a shot across goal for Sligo, and then in the second half, he had a shot that was deflected wide. What about this penalty, Kieran? McFadden handball.
Very harsh.
Yeah, he was on the ground, wasn't he?
Yeah, from the angle on the TV, it's hard to see because the incident has happened the other side of the camera, so it's hard to see whether the player's arm is down by his side, whether it's behind him, whether it's slightly raised. But initial thoughts, quite
harsh. The ball smashed him as well, isn't it? So I don't know how he's got time to react at all to it. But look, Hooban's made no mistake with a penalty to make it 2-0. Mountaineers increased the lead with a header, 3-0, and then. Another penalty given away by the unfortunate McFadden. I think that was more...
Stonewall.
Yeah.
That's 12 in 20 games now for Dundalk.
They like a penalty, don't they? But look, Mountney took that one. I think Hooban was generous giving him that. And he scored it to get his hat-trick. 4-0.
I know the question was put to Vinnie Parth. I think it might have been James Rogers in the local press down there. He put the question about penalties to Vinnie Parth. And... or it could have been Gavin McLaughlin, excuse me, on Dundalk Sport, but he put the question to him in a piece, and Vinnie Parth has correctly said, as I said on the show in recent weeks, if you review all of the penalties they've got, you might find one or two harsh ones, like that that handball incident, and I think back to Duffy's penalty in Dalymount. Otherwise, they've all been absolute nailed-on penalties. So
you think about the runners in that team, and the late runners into the box, the likes of McElhinney, and you know, and they're always going to win penalties because of just the way they play. But I have to say, I thought Sligo brought around their own downfall. The passing was poor, and I thought they gave the ball away far too much. And you can't do that against that Dundalk side.
Well, I've raised it several times here, John, haven't I? I think defensively, Liam Buckley's happy enough for where Sligo are at the moment. But in an attacking sense, in terms of a possession-based team, he's not one bit happy. They haven't been able to nail that part of their game all season long. And it's going to cost them in big games like this.
Yeah, you can't give the ball away against Dundalk, or you're going to end up on the wrong side of a paste. Yeah, and that's exactly what happened.
For me, that's why I don't see... I know some people have mentioned that they could sneak into Europe. I don't see that happening one bit.
No, they need to build on what they've got currently. But, you know, there's a decent... There's something there. There's a bit of a spine of a team. I like Parks. I think he's lively up front. And, you know, now Leverock set it. Leverock settled in.
Good goalkeeper, McGinty.
Yeah. On his day, yeah.
You've Twardek on the wing, can add a bit of magic.
Yeah.
There is bits and pieces there. Definitely needs another season. So I hope they stick with Buckley.
I think they will, yeah. Because, I mean, well, they have to really. You know,
in previous years, they've chopped and changed managers, which isn't really traditional at Sligo.
I don't think they will, though, with Buckley. I mean, they've got tested League of Ireland manager there. So I think they'll stick with him, barring an absolute dreadful collapse of form.
And just off the field, their new partnership with the brewery, the local brewery, they sold 1,000 pints at the weekend. It sold out. Amazing stuff.
Yeah, and that's brilliant. And it just goes to show, you know, that... No matter when there's any kind of fundraising up at Sligo, they're the best at it. They absolutely are.
Just for anyone that isn't aware of that, they've partnered up with a local brewery, a new craft beer, I think it's called the Showgrounds. And for every pint sold, €1 goes towards ground development at the Showgrounds.
That's absolutely
superb initiative. Well done to the people involved there. Speaking of Europe, John, St. Pat's have hopes of it this season. Cork. Still maybe harbouring outside hopes of it, but I don't think there's too many fancy in that. A 1-1 draw. You watched this game live on the box. What was your views on it?
It wasn't exactly a cracker for a televised game, unfortunately, Kieran.
Very poor crowd and atmosphere as well.
I think there was over 1,000 there, so but it did seem like not the best atmosphere.
When these two played on the opening day of the season, there was over 3,000.
Yeah.
It's a big drop off.
It is, and I think that's from the, you know, the excitement at St. Pat's signings at the beginning of the season, and obviously, you know, Cork was still Cork, so they brought the crowd, and yeah, but this had it had almost a feeling of, you know, the crowd weren't too invested in it, it felt like. Yeah,
two teams going nowhere, would that be harsh?
Well, I think it's a little bit harsh on Pat's, because you still think that with the players they've got, they're going to click at some stage, but just doesn't
Pat's
seem
fans
to be.
Aren't happy, John.
No.
They're not happy with the style of football, they're not happy with the results. Do you think Harry Kenny's the man for the job?
I keep thinking every week he's going to turn around. They're going to win this. Yeah. They're going to stuff somebody.
It's not happening though.
No, it's not. It's not at the moment.
So is he the man for the job?
Well, I think so. I think he's got to be given a bit of time, Kieran. I mean, I think it's very, you know, we chop and change managers far too often. And look, he's not in the bottom two or anything. And
oh, come it's on, mid-table. With the players they've made, that's a bit of a silly statement.
I know, but. I think it'd be too early to press the panic button. I think he needs a bit more time.
I'm not saying that he isn't the man for a job, just simply doing my job as a podcaster and putting it out there.
Yeah,
But overall, what did you feel this was a fair result?
I did. I think Cork were on top. They had spells where they were dominant in this match and, you know, little glimpses of their old days and... But I just think some of the players maybe look a little jaded at Cork, and
they're Darryl certainly kind of looked impressive in the highlights.
Yeah, he did, and I like look at Tilly. He's vibrant. He's quick. Okay. I think he needs a bit more experience in the league to, you know, he maybe lacks a bit of that.
Is he enough on his own up there for Cork?
No,
though?
No, he's not. No,
up there long.
Is Shepherd having a great season?
No,
not really.
No.
Is he? I know he got the goal here after a great run by Buckley, but I just think it looks a little bit jaded, that Cork team, and they need something to really spice it up.
Yeah, I just wonder with the attendances dropping off there, with everything that's gone on, will the finances be in place to maybe go out and bring in a centre forward? It's not likely if the board don't think European football is going to be secured. I can't see them spending much.
Well, we know they're going to get $250,000, don't we, for Europa League. This season, at least, you know, if they get
will
through
that
a
just
round
go
or so,
and cover the expenses for this season, though, I in terms of they've lost a lot of support this season through the gates.
Well,
will they just plug the gap with that?
Let's just hope they haven't budgeted for $5,000 a week, because they're nowhere near that at the moment. So we'll see. And I think that's why Caulfield had to go in the end, you know, lack of attendance.
Yeah, that's usually the killer sign for a manager, isn't it? Once the attendances drop away.
Yeah.
Final point on this one, Simon Mann with a late equaliser. Not a man that scores too many, but always a consistent performer, isn't he?
Yeah, it was well into injury time, this one. And
I wanted to ask you about that. Was the added time, was it justified?
Well, it's a minimum, isn't it? Mm. It's a minimum of 3 minutes, but... I mean, we were nearly 5 minutes into
injury
time. Did
you notice any blatant time wasting or
not really
stoppages in play?
No, I think Pats were very lucky to get the draw. Yeah. I thought Cork were the better team overall, Kieran, and you know they had chances, and Tilly being a bit more on his game, he could have had a couple of goals. You know, and Clark made a couple of saves.
Yeah,
they were definitely the better team, Cork, but
there's a few little promising signs from Cork since the new management team went in there, isn't there? They're starting to play a little bit more attractive football. I think, as we've just said there, they just look a little bit toothless up front, and that's probably limiting them slightly.
I'll be brutally honest, Pats were lucky. I thought it was a tough result on Cork.
Perfect. We'll move along to the next one, John. Where are we going now? Excuse me as I just scroll down.
Only
here.
One more fixture, I'm afraid, and that was Bows against Harp.
Oh yeah, how could I forget that one?
Yeah, Bows against Harp.
Goal thriller.
Yeah, and well, we wondered about how Bowes would score any goals without Denny Corcoran. Well, we certainly got an answer here, didn't we, Kieran?
Yeah. Jesus, there was some brutal defending from Finn Harris in this game, to put it bluntly.
Yeah, but we've seen a lot of that this season. And for me, that's been the disappointment of that Harp side, because their defence was so good that it got them promoted, really.
Yeah.
They were having shutouts after shutouts last season, and this season they've just been...
I mean, when they got promoted, I'm looking at that there and thinking, Keith Cowan, Todd, Daniel O'Reilly, three centre-backs if he wants to go with it, or rotate one of them and play just a standard back four. I was thinking, that's solid.
Yeah.
Two good goalkeepers, but some howlers in recent weeks, and we've seen one in this game. And obviously they're not scoring goals, but I thought defensively they wouldn't have any issues. I was wrong.
Yeah, totally wrong. And I think we're going to talk to Daniel O'Reilly about that coming up in our interview with him. But, you know, it's a surprise. And he said, I think it's the difference between... Obviously, the quality of the attack of the Premier, of the top division and the first division, Kieran, and there's a huge difference in teams.
Mm. Will Bowes be disappointed to have conceded three then against a team that hasn't been very prolific this season? Is that a worrying sign?
Well, I think so. I mean, to be honest, there's not much they could have done about the last one.
Yeah, I suppose you chalked that one off, really.
Yeah,
don't you?
But look, this match, Keith Ward, he shot at the post. Devaney followed up to give them the opener.
Great play by Ward.
Yeah. Daniel O'Reilly, his header at the bar. Niall Logue followed up 1-1. Talbot saved from McAleer after the Bose defence dithering on the ball. So, I mean, it could have been worse for them. Mandrillo, he hit the post. Swan followed up 2-1. Delighted to see Ryan Swan amongst the goals,
yeah.
Kieran.
Yeah.
But then that wily old fella, Raf Quartararo, great goal.
Great strike.
Lovely shot.
Talbot just caught off guard. Yeah. Seemed to be going the other direction.
Little
at the
bit
time.
Off balance,
I think he'd be disappointed with that one.
Yeah. I think it was a swerve, to be honest, that did him. A lot of swerve on that ball, and it crept in the corner. So 2-2 at that stage. Game on. But then Bose sort of took over, really. And Mandrio free kick. Have to say, a bit of a howler in goals there.
Yeah, it seems to just bounce a couple of yards in front of the keeper and it's gone in over him. Dreadful mistake.
And then Harps' old defensive calamities came back. Really just a hoof over the top. And Ryan Swan chipped the goalkeeper to make it 4-2.
I don't know how Swan gets in around the back of two defenders and gets a shot, a great finish over the keeper, but he should never get into that position.
No, atrocious positioning, I would say, from that defence. And then Macklin, he got a second yellow card. That didn't help Harps, did it?
We spoke about him in his first stint at Harps, and we questioned his discipline because I think he had 15 or 16 yellow cards when we got him on the show. Silly red card here.
It's a pointless red card. Ridiculous.
His disciplinary record again this season needs to be questioned. So
it's a shame because he's a much better player than that, Kieran. And, Harps have they've not got a big enough squad anyway. Yeah. And to have players suspended for things like that, but we always seem to be talking about disciplinary issues with Harps, don't we? It's like a broken record.
We're going to move on to our Premier Division previews now, and you'll hear our interview with Daniel.
We haven't even finished about this match yet, Kieran. You're blowing up at 4-2, and there was more to come from this because Lions Cross and Keith Cowan, he'll be very disappointed with his defending. He gifted a Ward a goal to make it 5-2.
I don't know what happened there.
And I can't believe you were forgetting Daniel O'Reilly's thunderbolt of a free kick. As their man says, you don't save those.
No, brilliant. In off the post. So that's it, 5-3 in that one. A good win for Bowes after a difficult couple of weeks for them. Hopefully they can kick on. As for Harps, they need to start tightening things up at the back. But as I said, we're going to move on to the Premier Division previews, and in that segment you'll hear our interview with Finn Harps defender Daniel O'Reilly. Let's kick it off. Shamrock Rovers face Derry. Rovers need to claw back that 3-point gap at the top.
Okay, so Shamrock Rovers against Derry. This is it's all the makings of a cracker, is this one, Kieran?
Yeah, Derry struggling to score. Obviously, they were off last week, so were Rovers, so we'll have to see. I think the break will have done both teams well. Hopefully over that week or so, Declan Devine has been working on the attacking side of his game, because they've been quite solid as a unit this season, but just struggling to score goals. Pressure on Shamrock Rovers here, so I think there's every chance of a Derry upset.
You think so? Well, obviously Derry really pushing for Europe this season, Rovers pushing for the title. I think Rovers will have too much for Derry in this one.
So you're going for a Shamrock Rovers
prediction? I am going for a home win, yeah.
Okay, so this is obviously the part of the show, the St. Mel's Brewing prediction game. The Between the Strikes LOI podcast is sponsored by stmelsbrewing.com. Check out their website and pick up a bottle of their craft beer in your local off license. And always drink responsibly. It's brewed here in lovely Longford, by the way. So, John Breyer, you lead 10-4. You're giving me a right pacing at the moment. You've gone for a Shamrock Rovers win here.
Yep.
I'm going to upset the apple cart this week. I'm going for a Derry win.
A Derry win, okay,
Tala. It'd be some statement, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it just, yeah. I'm a little bit surprised by that, but we'll see.
Sligo Rovers against St. Pat's.
Okay, well, look at Sligo, obviously battered there by Dundalk. St. Pat's, still not overly impressing. Going to go for a draw in this one, Kieran.
Yeah, it's shouting out a draw, this one,
it
really.
It does to me.
Sligo have been the draw specialist in the Premier Division this season, and I think after taking such a battering off Dundalk, they'll probably roll things back a little bit this week. Just look to do the very basics, get their shape, be solid, see where it takes them from there. Maybe look to capitalise on set pieces. They've done that quite well this season, and obviously the pace of Romeo Parks on the counter-attack. As for Pats, very inconsistent this season, so it's hard to see them going away and winning at a difficult venue like the Showgrounds. I'm going to back you up on that one, John. Draw.
Okay. Harps host Dundalk. Away
Dundalk,
banker?
Dundalk host Harps.
Sorry,
Right. Sorry, Dundalk on the brain as always.
Yeah.
Harps host Dundalk, just to confirm.
Yeah. So it looks to me like a banker away win. I can't see any hope for Harps. Sorry, Daniel.
Harps have made it difficult for some of the bigger sides when they've gone to Ballybuffet this season. Thinking of Shamrock Rovers most recently when it took a Greg Bolger wonder goal to get all 3 points for Rovers. Dundalk, though, they're just in fantastic form. Just wondering what condition that pitch might be in with the weather we're seeing this week. It could be a little bit boggy.
Yeah, it's atrocious at the moment. It's not stopped raining, but I don't think that'll worry Dundalk too much. They'll have way too much for Harps.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed about Dundalk this season under Vinnie Parth, they're not afraid when they need to go that little bit more direct. And with someone like Patrick Hooban up there, you've got the best target man in the league. And if he's having an off day, you bring Georgie Kelly on and he'd love nothing more than the opportunity to score against his hometown club. So for me, Dundalk, they have different ways of being able to win this game. And I think they most definitely will win this game, going for a Dundalk win.
Right, well, Kieran, you can give Daniel O'Reilly the bad news then.
Yeah, here we are, folks. We're going to bring you our final interview of the night. It's the Finn Harps defender, Daniel O'Reilly. So, Finn Harps defender Daniel O'Reilly joins us once again this season on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Daniel, or should I say Roberto Carlos, welcome to the show.
How's it going, lads? I wouldn't go that far now.
Quite a stunning free kick, I have to say, Daniel. Unfortunately, it was in vain, I suppose, in the end. A 5-3 defeat to Bohemians. We'll talk about your goal first. Was the shot always on, or did someone have a word in your ear to take it on, or how did that come about?
I actually went up for a header for the free kick, and I just picked it up myself, and I just said I'd have a go. Like, we were 5-2 down at the time, so it wasn't really one where you're arguing over the free kick. It was just kind of get on with it. Like, it was in the 80, it was late 80 minutes anyway. So I know I can hit them. Obviously, we all have bad days and good days when it comes to set pieces. Like, but at that time of the game, I just thought I'd give it a go. Like, and obviously it went well and went in.
And obviously I've seen you score quite a few decent goals for Longford Town in previous years. But I don't think I've ever seen you hit one so sweet and as clean as that. Is that something you work on in training, or was it just one in a million?
Do I make myself sound good here or not? No, it's obviously something with free kicks. Like, you like to try practice as much as you can, but it's something I do try work on if I have the time. Like, but we've got some good free kick hitters on the team, but I was just fortunate enough to hit that one and obviously catch it sweetly.
And earlier in the game as well, you hit the crossbar with a header. Now, it was turned in eventually, the rebound, so you could have had two. But you seem to be one of the more attacking threats in the team this season.
Yeah, I've actually been surprised. Like, I've had quite a few chances in a lot of the games. Like, I've hit the post, I think it was two other games other than that, so I suppose I might go under the radar because I wouldn't be as big as the other lads, so I don't mind that. Like, it's fine for me, and obviously if the opportunities come, I try my best to take them.
Yeah, and Kieran sat down with Aid Durbin of Longford Town last week, talking about how he manages the, you know, the work and football as well. So you obviously you're working in Dublin, and you're also up with Harps. It's a massive commute. How are you finding it, Daniel?
It's not too bad, to be honest. At the start of the year, I thought the journey would kind of take its toll, but it's fine, to be honest. I've kind of got it down to a T in when I leave and with rest and stuff like that. So I don't really think about it too much. Ollie's great with obviously giving me time to rest and stuff, and I like to train as much as I possibly can for obvious reasons with fitness, but also to stay in touch with the lads and stuff, because it is part-time, but I want to try and make it as much as I can so I can obviously benefit being in the team atmosphere, like, you know.
And obviously, Daniel, conceding five isn't ideal. I suppose you'll take the positives from getting three goals at a difficult venue like Dalymount Park, but overall, would you agree that maybe the back four are finding the adjustment to Premier Division football more difficult than people expected?
Yeah, you get punished more for your mistakes in the Premier Division, I found, than the First Division. Obviously, it was a positive scoring three goals at Dalymount. I don't think anyone has this year, from what I remember, but conceding five is obviously not good as a defender, and it's from silly mistakes as well and silly errors, like I said, that you get punished in this league, like, which you can't really afford to, especially when you get back into the game at 1-1 and then 2-2 and then concede literally straight away after, is really a killer blow. Like,
with that in mind, could there be any tougher task now than going up against the champions, who are in relentless form at the moment, a 4-0 win over Sligo at the weekend?
Yeah, they don't really seem to be taking any prisoners, do they? But all games are tough in the league, whether it's home or away, whoever you're playing. But obviously Dundalk at home, you're hoping for a good crowd. It's on Saturday, so hopefully we'll get a good crowd behind us and try stay in the game for the first 15-20 minutes anyway, and then hopefully build on that. And you just never know from there, really.
And got a goal at the weekend from Raf Quattaro there. How are you finding working with Raf? He's obviously years of experience. It must be great for some of the younger lads in the squad learning from him.
Yeah, Raf's a great fella. I never spoke to him in my life before being at Harps, like, but he really is a gent, and whether he's on the bench or whether he's starting, he's just as positive, and he's really, really good for the change room. Like, he brings so much experience for the young lads, even for myself. Like, I'm learning off him all the time. I do room with him quite a good bit on a Thursday night before we play on a Friday, because obviously he's making the commute from Sligo. So I just try and leech off him a good bit, and he prepares as good as anyone I've ever met. And he's just a great fella to have around. And obviously he still has loads of ability, as you've seen with the goal at the weekend and different assists he's got already this year. So it's really been great having him on our team this year.
And finally, Daniel, we're coming up to the mid-season break now, and I know we both had a little exchange on Twitter recently. I suggested that maybe it's time to look at getting rid of the mid-season break, but you feel very, very passionately, as do a number of League of Ireland players I've spoken to, I have to say, that the break needs to stay to refresh the bodies and the minds. So would you still agree with those sentiments?
Yeah, like, it's not long enough for people to miss the football too much. It's only a week, really, without a game. It's obviously 2 weeks from the Friday to the following Friday or Saturday when you play. But for us, like, I think it's so important to just switch off for a week. Obviously, keeping on top of things when you're away, that's entirely down to you. But just to switch off mentally and physically, especially if you're working and you just want to get away from things, whether you go away or not, it's just, I just feel it. You do come back fresher and fitter and ready to attack the second half of the season, because obviously you're going into the FAI Cup games then, and like the crunch time of the season, especially for us, we're trying to fight relegation at the moment. So we need as much energy and much positivity around. So I think that just refreshes us.
What's your thoughts on that, John?
There's my view on it.
Well, I think it's probably a good thing, and they definitely need sort of like a winter break in England. It's been talked about for years, and you know, it's just, you've seen how the League of Ireland schedule the fixtures. Mm. They're relentless. They come in twice a week in a lot of cases, and three times in some. So yeah, I totally agree on giving players a rest.
Okay, I might have got that one wrong. But look, Daniel, absolute pleasure having you on the show, and best wishes for the rest of the season. Unfortunately, Miss Lennon won't let me wish you luck for the weekend, though.
Thanks, lad. Thanks for having me.
No bother. Thanks, Daniel.
Cheers, Daniel.
Cheers, lad.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
To the First Division, John Breyer, and it's a trip to the seaside, a 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Obviously, all fixtures in the League of Ireland are on Saturday this week due to the Ireland game against Denmark Friday. Ethan Fitzy, hope you're listening in from Denmark. Bray Wanderers host Shells in the First Division.
Yeah, why don't we get Bray away on a 3 p.m. on a Saturday? A day out on the train to the seaside. It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Might be that brilliant if the weather's like this.
Actually, take it back. I'm working Saturday, so it wouldn't be that good.
And no cover in Bray for away fans either. So enjoy that, Shells fans, if this rain keeps up.
Yeah. Look, we've talked about Bray's difficulties in a bit of detail earlier in the show. I think Shells will have enough for this one. I'm going to go with an away win here.
This is Bray's chance to prove the doubters wrong, to prove they do have the metal, the steel to sustain a title challenge this season. But for me, Shells, they're just the consistent side in the division at the moment. And they have, just like I said about Dundalk, they have different ways of winning games now. Although Shells would be, I'd argue, they're more direct most of the time. But they do have some nice technical players in midfield that can get it down and play little combinations. The likes of Callum Moore, the likes of James English, Conan Burns' experience is there. But it's been the Brennan and Kilduff show this season for Shelburne. Most of their goals have come through those two. I think Shells just have too much firepower. They beat Bray for me.
I know we've talked about it before. When Longford won the league that time, they struggled at the start.
Yeah.
But they had the big name signings, and when they settled down, they were on some.
That was
great
my
run.
Prediction from day one, wasn't it? With Shelburne, I told you maybe first 5-6 games they mightn't be that impressive. Now, it's gone on a little bit longer than that, but it's those two players in particular, Brennan and Kilduff, that have really stepped up.
They're still not a finished article by any
far
means.
From it,
you know,
far
they have
it.
Weaknesses in that team, and
we could easily be talking about Shelburne here tonight, having lost to Longford at home, and Longford been top of the division. It was that close. So this first division, it's going to go right down to the wire,
and there's going
to
be some really strange results as well.
It's great.
Yeah, it is fantastic.
Standard wise, not great, but entertainment wise, superb.
Right.
And just on that Shells Longford game that took place, everybody that came away, but Longford and Shells fans both said you could see by a country mile that they were the two best teams in the division.
Good. So, prediction, Kieran.
Shells win.
Shells win. Okay. Limerick host Galway.
Yeah, so Limerick, disappointing result against Athlone. They're back on home soil here. Galway. They'll be happy with their second half display against Longford. Can they carry that into a 90-minute performance with a trip to Limerick? It's a lot to ask of a young team to play two games in a week. I think Limerick will just shade this one, maybe 1-0, 2-1 type job.
Yeah, I think it'll be close, but I think Limerick by a goal as well, Kieran.
Okay. Cabinteely, Horse Cove.
Now, this is interesting because Cabinteely are on a... They're on a poor run at the moment. Cove, a great win against Bray. Might just give him a bit of impetus.
Tough trip, though, isn't it?
It is a tough trip. I just get a funny feeling they're going to go up there and they're going to beat Cabinteely.
Really?
Yeah, I've just got this funny feeling. I think Hendo's full of bluster. I think they're going to go up there and win. I'm going for an away win, Kieran.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Cove, obviously, their pitch isn't in great nick, and we know the issues at Cabinteely. So you'd imagine it won't... really deter Cove in the way they play too much. They've got some nice little flair players there, the likes of Fernandez, the likes of Kabia that can pop up with a goal. Cabinteely, if this was earlier in the season when they were on their good run, I would have just clicked my fingers and said Cabo win, because they're quite a physical side and they can bully some of the younger sides in the division like Cove. Do you know what? I'm going to follow you. I think Cove might just have something about them.
I think Hendo's having a sneaky laugh and saying, "Oh yeah, we're out of it. Right, lads.
Yeah,
come on.
Prove me wrong. I think so. I could just see a little bit of magic from one of those players I've mentioned, the likes of Fernandez or Kabia, or maybe one of their fullbacks popping up with a goal. Stephen Christopher as well is set to make his 100th appearance, I think I'm right in saying, for Cove this weekend. So maybe he could mark it with a special moment.
Yeah,
I'm going with a Cove win.
Manly gone a little quiet for you, for Cabo as well.
He couldn't keep scoring on the rate he was scoring, so he could easily go out and get a hat-trick here and make us look very foolish. But I just have a feeling there's something in the air at Cove. I think they might have a good little run before the break.
So it's going to be 6-0 to Cabinteely, lads. So,
but we're both going with Cove wins for now anyway. Drogheda against Athlone.
Yeah, I'm...
On paper, you're surely fancying Drogheda there.
Yeah, I'm going with Drogheda home win, and it'll be...
Comfortable.
5-2. Something ridiculous like that, Kieran.
Yeah, I see a bit of comfortable draw to win. Too much firepower. Athlone's back four. Not great. Not scoring goals. They're only 2 points ahead of Wexford, so Athlone are in a bottle at the bottom. Drogheda looking to, if not win the title, certainly go up through the playoffs. There's only one winner here. It's Drogheda.
Yeah. Longford Town host Wexford in our final fixture, Kieran.
Again, this is one of those on paper. You look at it and you click your fingers and go, home win for Longford, but it's certainly not going to be that easy. Wexford, if you go back through any of their fixtures this season, they're only losing their games, the vast majority, by a single goal. They've put it up to the likes of Shells in recent weeks. They've put it up to Bray. They got a draw against Cove 4 games back. It sounds silly to say they're in good form, even though they've lost 3 of the last 4, but they're actually putting in some quite decent performances. And in Furlong and Doherty, they have 2 real attacking threats.
It does sound silly, Kieran. They've lost 3 of the last 4 and they're in good form.
What they have, they're giving it a right good goal this season, Wexford.
Do you know, they're not getting... They're being close in matches. I know what you mean by saying that, actually. Yeah. In that, you know, it's not 4-0 every week.
This time last year, we were talking about them losing games 6 and 7.
Yeah, and they're not.
No.
they're not at this stage.
And obviously, Longford came from behind to beat them in Ferry Carrigan early in the
season.
And
that was very close, that match. In atrocious conditions.
And Longford probably robbed it that night. Obviously, they had to show great character and steel in the second half to come back. But they know what they're going to get from Wexford. And I think that's why Longford might just shade it. They're not going to walk in with any complacency here. They know the challenge they're going to have. But we really do need to start seeing some more threat from the forward players for Longford.
Yeah. Look, I think Longford will win, but I don't expect it to be that comfortable a night.
No, I don't think it'll be pretty.
Looking forward to watching Wexford's front two, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So that brings us to the end of the show, John. I had wanted to ask you a little bit about Niall Quinn's proposals on this week's show, but I know you've been at work all day and haven't really had a chance to sit down and read them, so we might leave that off to next week. Any other business you want to address before we go?
No, as I say, I had a great weekend, and credit to the... It's not often I say it, but credit to the FAI for a very, very well-run Gaynor Cup event.
Meh. Folks, thanks very much for listening. As I said at the very start of the show, technical glitch in the last couple of weeks with our iTunes subscribers. It seems some of you, your subscriptions have either paused or cancelled. I think it's down to the fact that we were away for 1 week, and sometimes the settings, if it's not active with a new show every week, it does pause or cancel subscriptions. So if you're listening on an Apple device now, please go into your iTunes, unsubscribe and resubscribe, and that way you'll be dead certain that you're set up to get notifications from us when our show goes live every week. And if you have time to leave a rating or a review, that would be much appreciated.
And I should add, if there was any scouts there and wanted to know who the girl with the Rory Delap throw-in was for Longford, that's my daughter. And if you want to pay lots of money to join the club, give me a shout.
Excellent stuff. So, final announcement before we go. As I said, there's been a huge reaction to my League of Ireland Life Stories interview with A. Durbin. And over the weekend, I'm actually going to take the audio from that video on our Between the Stripes TV channel. And we're going to release a podcast extra over the weekend. So, as I said, if you subscribe now on iTunes, Spotify, whatever you listen to, you'll get a notification when that goes live. And for those of you that don't have time to sit down and watch a YouTube video, you can listen to it on the go. So as I said, betweenthestripes.ie is the place to get all of our content in one place. And until next week, we will speak to you again, and thanks for listening. And John, let's hope this rain stops over the weekend.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit betweenthestripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.